I had a very interesting experience this morning whispering my japa. And I was thinking again, Krishna has a wonderful sense of humor. I wasn't exactly laughing, but I was enjoying Krishna's sense of humor. A weekend when I'm supposed to speak a lot, I can't speak. I'll try, same as yesterday, for those of you that weren't with us, I'll try my best to speak directly into the microphone. Subal will try his best to monitor the volume so you can all hear. And you try your best to listen more carefully than you would otherwise. Krishna's humor can be matched by bhakti. So the topic yesterday evening is going to continue this morning. The topic of the connection between bhakti yoga and buddhi yoga. How they're similar, how they're in certain ways dissimilar, or they're specific, I think that's a better way to say. Bhakti means something specific. Buddhi means something specific. And at the higher stages of bhakti, they're inseparable. And even like the question-answer session, Krishna can guide the intelligence of even a fledgling how to come to him. That's what buddhi does. It guides us how to go to Krishna. So as you see, this is a verse from Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti. We touched on it a little bit because Dravida touched on it, so I followed. If those of you that were with us may remember, Dravida said there's another Ashtaka set of verses, 8 verses, in Kapila Dev's teachings. In chapter 25, it's Sadhu Sangashtaka, 8 verses in the glories of association with devotees. I forget what he labeled this Ashtaka, but it's 8 verses that are describing this fabulous question that devotees ask again and again, the how-to question, how to go to from where we are to where we want to go. That's the Ashtaka. In the beginning of chapter 29, which very interestingly follows chapter 28, where there's a description of devotional service, Kunti says, paraphrasing to keep it very simple, bhakti is pure. However, persons like me who are attached to the bodily conception of life and seeking happiness through bodily relations and such things, fruitive activities to help support and maintain our bodily relations. Some persons like me are influenced by the modes of nature. So is it possible for someone who's within the modes of nature to take up bhakti? And does that mean that bhakti then becomes contaminated? Because bhakti is pure. Bhakti can't be contaminated, so the answer is no. Bhakti cannot be contaminated, but bhakti can be mixed with the modes of nature. Something He doesn't say this, but a very simple example is air is pure. But air has pollution. As we were coming from the airport yesterday, I was looking at the skyline of Chicago from a distance and explaining to Bhakta Mitch, it's not like this in China. Beijing is horrible. When it's during the day, it's like dusk because there's so much smog. It's just like amazing. I was shocked riding in a car 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it looked like it was dusk. And I said, what's going on? Does it sunset this early in Beijing? They said, no, it's smog. But it's not just Beijing. It's without the detail. It's horrific. I'm sure it has poisonous effects on the lungs, if nothing else, or the whole metabolism of the people of China. For what? Economic development. Progress. Leave agrarian civilization, which China used to have, not so long ago. People's Republic was founded on that basis. And then something happened. In any case, air is pure, but there may be stuff in the air. Bad smell, good smell. But air is colorless, odorless, tasteless. Air is pure, but air can have stuff in it. Similarly, bhakti is pure. But our consciousness, our mind, our senses can be influenced by the modes of nature. There's not only one, there's three, and there's combination. So, beginning of this chapter 29, Kapila Dev describes devotional service mixed with the mode of ignorance, with the mode of passion, with the mode of goodness. And then he describes devotional service that's unmixed. And similarly to what Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, our the principal verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that governs all the other verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that it covers all the verses that describe bhakti. Bhakti is unmixed. And then there's the cultivation of unmixed bhakti, especially for those who were very fortunate to receive the teachings of Rupa Goswami in disciplic succession, because the teachings of Rupa Goswami are the teachings of Mahaprabhu, and the teachings of Mahaprabhu are the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically even in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, these 8 verses, Kapila Dev is describing how to cultivate bhakti that reaches the stage of unmixed. You know, that question that devotees ask all the time. If not in every class, almost every class at the end, how do we go from where we are to where we want to be? And you know, the how to. And then sometimes they say, you know, really, how do you do it? Like at the rest of what you said is, we were just holding back the truth. We were telling a fib, and tell the truth, will you, Maharaj? You know, how do you really do it? So this is how you really do it. The section starts with text 14, and it goes through 20. And I think what I'm going to do, rather than go right into text 18, I'll go back to text 14. In fact, I'll go back to text 11 and 12. Remember what our purpose is. The purpose is asking that lovely rerun question again and again. Question, how do we get to where we want to go from where we are? I like the question last night. It was a classic. I'm here. I want to go there. How do I get there? Remember. So, text 11 and 12, I'm just going to read, This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. You can read Prabhupada's purports. This section is worth reading again and 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 osmosis, let it go inside and then it's inside. Then you can live your Krishna consciousness accordingly. Grinanti. Bring it within the heart. So, and that's this word, adhyatmika, from the soul proper, atma, adhyatmika. We'll go to this verse in a moment. So text 11 and 12. Pure devotional service is characterized by Kapila Dev in the following way. Because the mind, by hearing my qualities, flows continuously to me, the Supreme Lord, residing in the hearts of all people. Just as the Ganga flows to the ocean, it is said that the quality of bhakti beyond the gunas is absence of results other than bhakti, and the lack of obstructions from other processes. Does it sound like Rupa Goswami? Anyavilasha tashunyam jnana karma janavratam. Vishwanath Chakravarti is very consistent in a number of ways in how he comments. He's a rasika bhakta, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So the gift of Mahaprabhu is love for Krishna in the mood of the residents of Braja. He's giving Braja Prem. Srimad Bhagavatam is giving Braja Prem. Vishwanath is dialed to that channel, the Braja Prem channel. So he explains things from that perspective. When we discussed yesterday the vibhutis of Krishna, and we had some discussion, Sanskrit terms can have different meanings according to the circumstance and the context. So the vibhutis that we know about in chapter 10 are largely that long list at the end of which Krishna says, what is the use of all of this, Arjuna? Because with but a spark of my splendor, I pervade and maintain the entire universe. So it's a potency of Krishna mentioned from yesterday evening, that Krishna invests potencies in the demigods and in the rishis, because the demigods have to maintain the universe. That's a vibhuti, to maintain the universe. It's a vibhuti for sages to know whatever sages know. For that matter, it's a vibhuti for us to know anything that we know. But, you know, the superlative of those things, that those are vibhutis. Baladev says, Krishna's vibhutis are his qualities. Now, the soul has qualities, super soul has qualities, and Bhagavan has qualities. And depending upon where your consciousness is situated, you'll ignore the soul, you'll ignore super soul, or you'll ignore the personality of Godhead. But bhakti means to focus on the personality of Godhead. Before you focus on the personality of Godhead, Canto 2, Chapter 1, 2 and 3, you have to have a personal conception of God, Chapter 1, and then leave that behind specifically and focus on the Lord of the heart, and then leave that behind and focus on the personality from whom the Lord of the heart is an expansion. And in this stage of pure bhakti, one can appreciate the qualities of Krishna. Now, what's your favorite quality of Krishna? Krishna is very kind to his devotees. According to our acharyas, that's one of the most outstanding. Bhakta Matsala. Krishna is very kind to his devotees, as we discussed yesterday. When one becomes fixed in bhakti because one understands the vibhutis of Krishna, the elements, my goodness, some people, their entire occupation is finding out which metals have which properties or which something that's out there in, you know, in a mountain can give sense gratification in a better form to people of this world. That's their occupation. But where does that property come from in the metal to be a conductor of electricity or whatever it is that they want to do? Cobalt so you have a cell phone. And then, so those are vibhutis of matter, of the controllers of matter, of those that understand the process of matter, the rishis, and the person from whom all of those vibhutis come, who is giving direction to the wanderings of all living entities. And that's all living entities, and then what to speak of amongst all living entities, the devotees. Because this is about devotees. So the pure devotional service, I'll read it again. Because the mind, remember we heard yesterday Vishwanath saying, buddhi enters into the mind and directs the activities of the mind. If you don't have buddhi, your mind isn't directed in such a way that you'll go to Krishna. By default, it'll go towards sense gratification. You'll be an animal, a two-legged animal, unfortunately. And thus this good fortune comes, chapter 25 of Kapila's teachings, you get sadhusanga. But this is taking it further. Pure devotional service, unmixed with the modes. The mind, by hearing about my qualities, again, Vishwanatha is very consistent. Krishna's qualities are revealed by Krishna. And the representatives of Krishna, and when one hears properly this adhyatmaka, when we don't just hear for information's sake, but we hear for heart transformation's sake, to become closer to Krishna's sake, the mind flows continuously towards Krishna. The Lord residing in the hearts of all people. Metaphor is, as the Ganges flows to the ocean. So Prabhupada's translation is, as the Ganges flows to the ocean. When one simply hears topics about Krishna, you don't have to say to the mind, my dear mind, can you please stop being inattentive? Stop dwelling on other things especially those trash things, the attachment things. My dear mind, you know, Manashiksha, instructions, Raghunath Das Goswami, Manashiksha. On the stage of beyond the modes, you don't have to instruct the mind. The regulations have been passed over. The mind just goes, like the river Ganges flows downstream in the rainy season. You don't have to tell the river, you can flow downstream now, it's okay. Please do that. No instruction is needed. This is bhakti in the unmixed stage. So now the verses coming up is how you get there. But this is defining the goal. That stage of unmixed bhakti. It is said that the quality of bhakti beyond the gunas is absence of results other than bhakti. You know, like Prabhupada say, what's the goal of chanting? More chanting. Huh? Because we're used to doing something to get something. That's the mode of passion. And the mode of ignorance is you do something because you want to destroy something. That's rikasura. Or there's a portion of the Vedas that specifically mantras that you can invoke to destroy your enemy, etc. Black magic and curses and, you know, it's real. It's not, besides bhakti, there's all kinds of other stuff, and it's, my goodness, how popular is it these days in literature for our children? Not our children, but children that's out there in the universe. Whew. Mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, that's what we're to cultivate, where we do things not to get something, but we do things because it's to be done. Or, it will purify me. I want that condition of consciousness where there isn't a motivation to get something other than devotion to Krishna, being engaged in his service. That state of consciousness. A wonderful prayer by Prahlad Maharaj in Canto 5, Chapter 18. And he speaks specifically, your sharp nails and pinching teeth, I'm not afraid of them. I'm praying to you to please use them to take from my heart all impure things and leave it clean. Now he's already there, but he's praying like that. That's part of how he got there, because he's always praying like that. So mode of goodness is praying for purity, or striving for purity. And transcendence is just hear the sound of Krishna, your mind goes. And when the mind goes like that, then Krishna supplies buddhi. How to get to him, how to, as we discussed yesterday, I'm connecting yesterday evening with this morning, how to live every moment of your life. I noticed a book as I was traveling, because I heard it from a school teacher. They're teaching mindfulness in school now. I know somebody 10 years ago, they got fired because they taught yoga. Can't have religion in school. You're fired. Now it's not just religion, but it's, you know, it's yoga and mindfulness. So there's a book passing through. It's just, I was coming into Chicago on the book stand. You know, one of those, you have 50,000 of them standing out like you're supposed to get it. It's marketing. Mindfulness. And then next to it is a magazine, mindfulness magazine. Mindfulness of what? Certainly not God, because in secular society, you know, that's not cool. So it's just mindfulness. What's the goal? The goal is Like a star in the sky, you just twinkle. Twinkle mindfulness. As they say, good Lord. Let your mind just flow to mindfulness. Good Lord. Very sad. The atheistic society in which we live. The Bhagavatam wants to replace that with Bhagavan and Bhagavat Dharma. So now I'm going to go to text 14. Just read Vishwanath's translation, then we'll come to 18, and then 19, 20, and that makes the 8. So this is the answer to that lovely question, how to go from where we are to where we want to go. And I can circulate this if whoever would like it. Text 14. This is Vishwanath's translation, not Prabhupada. The highest state of existence is called bhakti, by which one surpasses the three gunas and attains prema for me. So the preliminary stage, mam cha yo vyavicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhoyaya kalpate. Bhakti is from the platform of transcendence. At once, so in Vishwanath's commentary, he says, one who is performing bhakti does not need to strive to go beyond the modes, because that's already included. Rather, what bhakti can give is something, rather what bhakti can give is prema. And it's something similar to Haridas Thakur describing the glories of the holy name. To say the holy name gives liberation, or to say that the holy name relieves one of karma, that's just a reflection of the holy name. That's abhas, nam. But shuddha nam delivers prema. And with that prema, then Krishna reciprocates and gives buddhi, so that at every moment the mind is going to Krishna. And whatever the circumstances, good fortune, ill fortune, or in transition between one and the other. Life has those three phases. Time moves things, and buddhi directs the soul to Krishna through all those things. We need not strive for this configuration of duality instead of that one. We should strive for attachment to Krishna. Okay. Text 15. The mind. This is how you get there. The mind should be purified by following varnashram duties approved by previous devotees without desire for results, and which are favorable for bhakti, so daivi varnashram, without striving in the mode of passion for something, just do as you're to do. We do because we're to do. I clean my room because, not just because mommy said I should clean my room, but should be clean. Or whatever it is, I brush my teeth because you brush your teeth. Or I take a bath because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the platform where he did those things externally, dutifully, but where was his mind? Mind was absorbed in Krishna. And by always performing powerful Panchatrika deity worship with the best choice of items and without unnecessary violence. Without unnecessary violence means, he explains, in order to get the paraphernalia for deity worship, you follow the principles of ahimsa. Well, because it's for the deity, you can do something that otherwise you shouldn't do. Well, without unnecessary violence, you don't do that. With grass and whatever it is that you use to offer the deity, you're conscientious of minimizing violence. That's the mode of goodness, but it's to cultivate the mode of goodness, ahimsa, which according to Buddhism is the primary principle of Dharma. It's just a mode of goodness principle. I mean, it's an important one, but it's a mode of goodness principle. Text 16. The mind should become purified by offering obeisance to, praying to, worshiping, touching, and seeing my deity form, by thinking of my presence in all beings, and by giving up bad association with determination. This is exactly what Mahaprabhu said, the primary characteristic of a devotee. When asked, atsat sangha tyag, a vaishnavachar. Mahaprabhu's teaching is the Bhagavatam's teachings and vice versa. With determination. Now there's some compromise. Life has its yeah, but situations. There may be somebody in the workplace, or there may be somebody in the relative or family member, or you all know what I'm talking about. That's, you know, they're not warmed to Hare Krishna movement. They have this thing, that thing, the other thing. One should not be governed by that association with determination should be given up. Now that association given up means the intimacy of the relationship, not you toss the person in the garbage. We'll carry on. There's a lot to say about each one of these. Text 17, which comes just before this one. The mind should become purified by greatly respecting the great devotees, showing compassion to the unfortunate, being friendly to one's equals, and by following Yama and Niyama of Ashtanga Yoga. Now this is Kapila. So Kapila is teaching the process for Satya Yoga, and the process for Satya Yoga is Ashtanga Yoga or meditation. So you accept the regulations, the do's and the don'ts, for the purpose of purifying the mind. And then this other is found throughout the Bhagavatam. How do you relate to the Lord? How do you relate to the devotees? How do you relate to peers? How do you relate to the innocent? He's already spoken, what do you do with those that aren't innocent? They're bad association. You carefully. They're averse to Krishna bhakti, or averse to the method of Krishna bhakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And they have some, whatever they have, objection, issue, complaint, something, something, and want to chop your legs. So that's not, We can respect those people. We don't intimately associate with them. We don't intimately associate means. In the soul's journey to Krishna, seek their guidance. How should we make our journey to Krishna more effective? You're not going to be able to give proper direction. We're courteous. We're respectful. We're respectful to all living entities. But we don't enter into those kinds of discussions with those people. That's the idea. And then this one. So, if I had a voice, I'd like to chant the verse with you. But instead of doing it responsively, let's do it, let's say it together. Adhyatmika anushravanam nama sankirtanachchame arjave narya sangena niraham kriyaya tata. Different melodies all at one time, that was interesting. We'll do it responsibly. Adhyatmikanushavanan nama sankirtanachchame arjave narya sangena niraham kriyaya tata. Well, that was much better. Very interesting translation. Listen carefully. You'll find Prabhupada's translation is different, but I like this one. The mind should become purified by continually hearing about the good and bad qualities of the antakarana. Now the word antakarana is not in the verse, but it's a term that Vishwanath uses all the time, again and again. So the meaning I've found is relatively straightforward and simple. So I'll say the meaning and then we'll read the translation again. This antakarana means, basically, it's something in the direction of the internal sense or the subtle body, refined subtle body, and concentrated intelligence. Now, intelligence may not be so concentrated, but his reference to antakarana is specifically, in this context particularly, it's those who are striving to go to the next step, the next step, the next step. And so they're trying. They may not have full buddhi given by Krishna yet, but they're trying. They're striving to concentrate their intelligence on the goal of life, the purpose, their life's mission, the higher values and purposes that God has given to us in this human form of life. That's the antakarna, that subtle feature within. Not the soul, it's not the body, it's the subtle body directed towards elevation. At least in this case. So here's the translation again. The mind should become purified by continually hearing about the good and bad qualities of the antakarana, by chanting my names, by sincere association with great devotees without pride. So his commentary to this focuses on same thing as what he said in chapter 28, that the process of bhakti is based on hearing and chanting. So we're the hearer, hearing from the right sources, hopefully, and hearing from the right sources, what should be the purpose as you're hearing, like right now, or when you're in your home and you're hearing a class, or you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or whatever you're doing, and it's in that receiving position, he says that the function should be to take that light, that let it illumine inside, this antakarana thing inside, this refined and concentrated intelligence thing, and see qualities and faults, guna and dosha, quality and faults. Not just the faults, but the quality. So quality means, the way that I'm accustomed to speaking this is, it's important to understand what are those gifts that Krishna has given you. I was just sharing this with somebody recently. What are those gifts that Krishna has given you? What is it that when you do this in service to Krishna, it gives you strength? It may not yet be fully matured or fully purified like gold, but gold is made pure by putting gold into fire, and the impurities are driven away and leaves pure gold. So what are those things that give you energy or give you strength? Understand what those things are. Have it become illumined, not just by, in part by what you feel and examine, and others may also see in you, but also through the hearing process, this Bhagavad Dharma process. What are those qualities within me that Krishna has endowed me with that give me spiritual strength, bala, enthusiasm, and doshas? What's inhibiting that, or some other areas of my devotional service where I know it's not so strong? Or I know that I dilly-dally over there and waste time when I could just be doing these things that are for Krishna's pleasure instead of dilly-dallying, or go further out in things that are, you know, borderline, or even things that are, you know, off the playing field, that are not prescribed, or keep going, you know, things that are in the category of deviation or sinful, or, and because of past involvement in matter, the mind tends to go to those things instead of to Krishna, especially when you put your hand in your bead bag. One devotee told me, actually two devotees told me, as soon as I put my hand in my bead bag, my mind starts to go. Take my hand out of my bead bag, it's I'm more peaceful. What do I do? I know the goal, but I'm way down here. So, with faith in the process, you put your hand in the bead bag, and with faith in the process, you carry on the process. And this, exactly, you continue the hearing of the holy name and hearing of the scriptures and hearing from those who are guiding you in Krishna consciousness and so forth. And the advice of this verse is the mandate to get from where you are to where you want to go, that hearing is for the purpose of seeing where the qualities and faults are in this refined and focused intelligence, how to get to Krishna. At least I'm trying. That's the clearing stage. I'm trying. This other thing is going on, but I'm trying. That hearing, it was exactly as we discussed yesterday, that hearing has the potency to carry you beyond those shortcomings. Whatever are the attractions for the impermanent. The potency is there in the bhakti process that starts with Shravanam Kirtanam to carry you beyond the contamination. Please understand, I'll say it for the fourth time. Kapila Dev is giving the answer to how you get there. So this is a very important instruction. I like this verse particularly. I've spoken about it so many times. It's become one of my favorites, these days at least. So that's this first line. Adhyatmaka Anukarana. Those of you that took the Tattva Sandarbha seminar, you heard a little bit. I didn't go into it exhaustively because it's a little much. Adhyatmika, Adhidaivika, and Adhibautika. Now, in ISKCON, we're used to hearing of those terms in terms of kleshas, the miseries that come from the body and mind, the miseries that come from other living entities, the miseries that come from disturbances in nature, daiva. That's an application of those terms, but there's another application. There's multiple applications. It's a core terminology found not just in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it's found in the Vedas. Without repeating all of that, Adhyatmaka specifically is the soul. The soul is covered by gross and subtle bodies. So it can also mean those things. Miseries caused by my mind. But the Adhyatmaka Anushravana means Shravana is hearing, Anushravana is following the ways of the great souls, because it's in the verse. We hear from the heart or hear from the soul with this introspection that says, where's the qualities and faults in this antakarana, this thing that's not me, but I think it's me. Crowned by my dear friend, false ego, who is so dear to me. We embrace each other all the time. It's very dear to me. He embraces me a whole more than I embrace him. But we're really close. False ego. And then the mind and material intelligence that helps the mind fulfill the desires in the mind, driven by false ego. So when one is on a spiritual path, then there's search for happiness, or search at least in the language of Bhakti Siddhanta, search for truth with a capital T, search for God, mindfulness. Impersonal mindfulness. Search for the truth. That's the antakarana, is searching for the truth with a capital T. So let the hearing, the advice to get to where you want to go, hear with that purpose. Now at the beginning, we're hearing, you know, to sort out things, this from that. And then we get, you know, this is my experience in my own life and in guiding others. We call upon the education methodology of putting information in your information basket. We try, the purpose of discerning this from that is so I can say I get an A. I now know this from that. Just ask me. And we become proud of the discernment between, we have more information than the next guy. Or even beside comparing ourselves, I feel a sense of accomplishment. Now supposing somebody has that, they look inside and engage in the process of hearing and they recognize, I have this tendency for wanting recognition. If I get recognition, I feel fired up. If I don't get recognition, I feel discouraged. And I know that when I get recognition and get fired up, it's all about me and Krishna at the center gets somehow displaced. I know that that's there, but I don't pay attention to that because I like recognition. And I'm stuck in wanting recognition. We could go through a list of so many. This is the practical application part. So how are we going to go beyond that? To the stage where it's just for Krishna, not for the recognition. Well, that's in the verse. To perform, this is his commentary, to perform bhakti using the antakarana, one must hear about its good and bad qualities, understanding one has bad qualities like pride or like craving for recognition or whatever. One can conquer those bad qualities by worship of great devotees. And that's in this Arya Sangena. That connects back with chapter 25, Sadhu Sangha Astaka. This, the phrase Sadhu Sangha means the same as Arya Sangena. Sangha, the root is there, association, with Sadhu or Arya. Arya means one who knows the progressive value of life. We know that from Bhagavad Gita. Those that are, they live their life that way. They not only know, that's who they are. They live their life. What's progressive value? I know what the goal of life is. One who knows the goal of life, and they don't do anything else. What's the goal of life? To be in one's service relationship with the Supreme Lord. And they live their life that way. That's Arya Sangena. So, be in the presence of those persons, specifically, he says, Vishnu says, worship them. Now how do you worship somebody who's so eminently qualified like that? Well, it starts with hearing. And when you're hearing, you don't just gather information, you apply that which you hear. I'll give a few examples. Three. In the early stages of my Krishna consciousness, like many of you, I experienced an existential dilemma. And the existential dilemma was, because of my upbringing, I was taught, you accept Christ. Now here I am, on Boston Common, having Harinam Sankirtan with all the devotees, having a great time, and over there is a big church, and over there is a big church, and over there is a big church. Like, you know, what am I doing? Have I betrayed Christ? Have I given up that value which was given to me and jumped ship and betrayed Christ? So it was like, it was a quiet existential war inside. It got very quickly resolved because it was just a residual something. To do what I was doing, I was a better follower of Christ than before I became a Hare Krishna devotee. Because what did Christ say? Hallowed be thy name. And so many other things that I couldn't sort out, nor could I find people that could help me sort it out. But by association with Prabhupada, writings and his devotees, it was very easy. Like, love your neighbor as yourself. I struggle with that big time. You know, get serious about what instructions mean and try to live by them, and you'll have a dilemma. How do you do it? How do you love your neighbor when they do bad stuff? Now, quite honestly, I don't, because they do bad stuff. They're mean. And particularly, I really didn't like bullies. And I'm supposed to love them? Forget it, I can't do it. How can I do this? And I went, you know, to a priest. I'll spare you the anecdotal stuff. No answer. No answer. If they're in the teachings, they could have just given me the teachings. Hate the sin, not the sinner. Oh, how do you do that? We just pray a lot. I mean, prayer is very powerful. Prayer is directly, but without proper sambandh again, how are you going to do it properly? We're so fortunate that we have guidance of our founder, Acharya, and his wonderful Bhaktivedanta purports, and giving us the message of these previous Acharyas, so we know how to get from where we are to where we want to go. Just as Vishwanath is doing here. So that's adhyatmika anushravana. From the position of the soul, you hear the message that tells you where your antakarana is situated, qualities and faults. Work on, develop those qualities. Get strength. And take that strength and apply it over there where there's less strength. Not fanatically or beat yourself up or any of those other things. Just follow the process. Go on with the hearing with complete faith in the process. From whatever your beginning point is, or intermediate point or high point, just that the process is effective. And then the end. These other four points, Nama, they support this one, according to Vishwanath. Nama Sankirtanat, chanting the holy name. Arjavena, straightforward behavior. Those of you that participated in the Anarjana Vritti process or the discussion, after getting overwhelmed that understanding how much anartha there is inside, what do you do? Well, this arjavena, or being straight, be honest with yourself and be honest with others. Don't be crooked. Because one of the first symptoms of impurity of heart is you're crooked. Now, somebody was sharing with me, I have this tendency to tell white lies. Now that's big, because most people won't even admit that they have a tendency to tell white lies. But their commitment is to go beyond telling white lies and just be arjavena. And if you do that, it's going to support your hearing and chanting process. It'll help give you strength to then address the doshas on the strength of the qualities. That which gives you strength in bhakti. So you can use that strength to overcome the shortcomings. But we will not progress if we're not honest. Sorry, Charlie. It's a big wall. Not just a fence, it's a big wall. You won't progress. And then the last one. Nirahankriyaya, the last line. This is, again, the two things that help to go beyond the impurities of heart is this straightforwardness and humility. Dainya is the phrase that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses. I forget the term that Jiva Goswami uses, but it means the same thing. Humility. Nirahankriyaya means without false ego. Just take a humble position, especially between you and Krishna. And if you can do that between you and Krishna, or you and your spiritual master and Krishna, then it becomes much easier to do it with others because they're part and parcel of Krishna. The verses that follow say, deity worship that's done nicely, but without respecting that I, as the super soul and situated in the heart of other living beings, and other living beings are not respected while you're doing respectful deity worship, that's not accepted by me. So this humility is, with it, one can progress. Without it, one cannot progress. So these four items, they support the hearing process. Adhyatmika Anushravana. So summary. How to get from where we are to where we want to go and receive the direction of buddhi, spiritual intelligence from Krishna, how to act properly and make the right choices and everything in such a way that we'll get to Krishna. This is part of that process and a very essential part. Associate with devotees, Arya Sangena, and in their association, hear topics of transcendence with the purpose of recognizing qualities and faults that are within, exercising in the areas where there's strength, borrowing from that strength to help in the areas where there's not so strong or weak. Don't act in false ego. Act in humility. Act straightforwardly. Don't act crookedly. And chant the holy name. And whatever your mind does when you chant the holy name, chant the holy name. With faith in the holy name chanting process. And that will help you get to where you want to go. There's just two more verses in this series. I'll read them and we'll stop. Text 19. Being purified by the above methods, the mind of a person engaged in serving me quickly attains the perfect form of bhakti. That's because buddhi guides the bhakti. Consisting of actions such as hearing my qualities, which is none different from attaining me. It's like name is none different than Krishna, but we don't realize it. But in this advanced stage, when you realize by hearing the qualities of Krishna, Krishna is there. Text 20. Just as the fragrance is carried to the nose from its source by the wind, the mind is carried to the Supreme Lord by Bhakti Yoga. Very sweet. I wanted to tell a little story in the end. There's more, but I have one particular one to share. It's a practical application story. We all have some nature, and it's very easy just to engage ourselves according to our nature and think that's devotional service without the mindfulness of Krishna. We're Krishna's devotees. We chant Hare Krishna. We just do stuff for Krishna, of course. So there's a nice story in Jagannath Puri of the father, I forget his name, the father of Prataparudra Maharaj. And the father of Prataparudra Maharaj heard from one king from the south of India, further south in Puri, that he has a princess and he was exploring the possibility of the princess becoming married to the king's son. So they did whatever kings do. And he invited the king from the south of India to come and, you know, join, attend Rath Yatra. And when the king from South India attended Rath Yatra and he saw Maharaj Pratap Rudra with a golden broom sweeping before Lord Jagannath, his mind became too much disturbed. He stayed for the Rath Yatra, but he went back with his daughter saying, forget it, marriage called off. I'm not going to have my daughter marry a street sweeper. So the king became very angry. He's serving Lord Jagannath and he's calling him a street sweeper. So he took his whole army and challenged the king to battle. And he was defeated. And he came back to Puri. He wasn't killed. He came back with less than the army he left with. And went before the temple of Lord Jagannath and prayed. What happened? And that night, I'm shortening the story. That night he had a dream. Lord Jagannath appeared to him and said, you didn't come and pray to me before you went to do my service. You just went off thinking in a rage, oh, my son has been offended. And my thought was there, but you didn't carry me. And so, you want independence? You've got it. Oh. So we went to Lord Jagannath the next day. And for hours prayed to Lord Jagannath. Essentially saying, this is for your honor, it's not mine. And he got this premonition, take your army again, battle number two. So he's heading for the kingdom of the king that called his son a bad name. In the course of their travel, they came to a marketplace where the man at the marketplace said, oh, here's your clay pots and here's your vegetables. Because they went to the storekeeper to get some clay pots and some vegetables. He said, well, how come you're offering these to us and we should pay you? He said, no. Two men came as the advance party, one black and one white. And they gave payment advance, saying you'll be coming soon. The king said, can I see that payment they gave you? And it was jewels of Jagannath that the king had given to Lord Jagannath. He did the math real fast. 2 plus 2. And he felt very clearly that the mistake was not just acting according to his chivalrous spirit as a king. We all have our spirit or our nature, whatever that is. Some like this and some like that. Some like to sing. But don't just sing nicely. Sing for Krishna. Don't just, whatever it is, cook nicely. Cook for Krishna. Etc. And then beyond vibhutis, where in order to manage nicely or cook nicely or sing nicely, some opulence Krishna can give, no problem. But to give himself, then it's beyond the decoration of the ability to do something. It's the relationship with Krishna. As we discussed yesterday, Krishna appears in his Bhagavan feature in the mind of his devotee who is devoted to serving him. That's what we want. That's the goal. He will appear. And he'll speak with you. He'll do all kinds of things. He'll engage in loving exchanges with you as you're doing your service, which is intended for that purpose. But then you'll feel the connectivity with Krishna. That's the goal. That's where we want to be. And these messages are meant to help us get there. So I wanted to share that. I'm inspired by this verse. And I'll circulate this document. It's Vishwanath's commentary with some embellishments, a little bit. Any discussion? Could you hear okay with my froggy voice? Okay, good.
Hare Krishna. Though we're taking shelter in the hearing process, when we're bringing it to practical application, we're exercising a lot of, I think, acute intelligence, or we're attempting to. And my question is, how to sustainably maintain that? Because one may feel that they're floundering a bit from situation to situation, or...
I get your question. Your question is something like, Prabhupada, how do you become sincere? Prabhupada, by being sincere. Everybody knows what sincere is. Be sincere. Continue to strive. And a similar answer is, the walking propensity for a child is innate. And by continuing to try to walk, the motor skill develops for most children, and they can begin to walk because it's innate within. So same, with the faith that this capacity is innate within, you continue sincerely to act in a way that, you know, the fruitive thing is so I get the goal. And if you get the goal, it's then generally in terms of something. I want less misery. I want more happiness. I want some recognition. I want a title or, some kind of garbage. But sincere means I don't want that. I know that that's a dosha. And I want, so you just continue. Striving with sincerity, with the goal that's been defined by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brajaprem. Before I get to Brajaprem, I have to get to, Prem. And before I get to Prem, I have to get to doing my sadhana consciously, because I'm distracted. Anyway, whatever my position is, the sincerity to reach the goal and make the next step. That's the same point as yesterday. Otherwise, I'll just continue. If I don't, then it's not even Bhakti Abhas. Or Nam Abhas. I'm a pretender. So, let me strive. And, sincerely strengthen that, as the phrase is here, with determination. Something else? Over here? You're going to take the microphone? Oh, you have a question? I'm sorry, you have a question? Go ahead, Paramakruna. I didn't see your hand, I'm sorry.
No problem. It's a follow-up question. So, let's say when the person starts the bhakti process initially using his senses, following the regulatory principles, and slowly, slowly, as he passes through the successive stages of bhakti, at one stage, the mind dissolves or the pure bhakti arises. How can the buddhi directs the bhakti? Because it seems like that even in the higher stage...
How can the buddhi do what?
Directs the bhakti. Because
Because you're using spiritual senses and a spiritual mind. And it's driven by spiritual intelligence.
But that is because of bhakti, right? Because we are following regulative principles.
Well, you're describing a stage where the mind becomes dissolved. That's a very advanced stage. And prior to that, it's not dissolved. It's operating. You know, attraction, repulsion of sense objects. But I follow the vidhis of bhakti and I stay away from the bad ones and stay with the good ones. That's in the regulative stage. But what I understood from your question is, beyond that is, where bhakti is so strong, the material feature of mind dissolves. But what's behind the material feature is the spiritual mind, attracted only to Krishna. And what guides the activities of such mind is spiritual intelligence. Now, spiritual intelligence can be all kinds of different things for different devotees. I was thinking this morning, Jagatananda Pandit. My goodness, what an amazing personality. He had one thought, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was so different. He would say things, do things that would just be like insulting. But he had one thought, his love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his intelligence is not mine or yours. It's according to his spiritual identity. So that the intelligences may be different according to different individuals. But the purpose of such intelligence is pleasing Krishna in a particular mood of love. That's very advanced. Your question is about a stage of bhakti that we're not there yet.
I'm sorry. Let's say, even if the person is following the regulative principles of bhakti, whatever purification is coming in his mind is just because of bhakti.
Whatever what is coming?
Whatever purification is coming in his mind is just because of bhakti only. So in that case, bhakti is responsible.
Well, you can say it's only by bhakti. You can say it in another way. You can say it's by the mercy of Krishna. You can say a number of things. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you can say a number of things. I'm qualifying. I don't want to get boxed into a preamble that then I'm stuck. So I'm editing the preamble of your question. Please allow me to do that. Because I've been down these kind of discussions with you before. I know what happens. Krishna is the purifier. However, he's the supreme pure. And we bring ourselves and whatever our faculties are to the supreme pure. We become purified. The principle is simple. That which is impure in contact with that which is supremely pure becomes purified. However, Prabhupada's example is a puddle of urine in contact with the sun. The sun doesn't become contaminated. The contaminated place becomes purified. The water becomes evaporated and even the impure thing behind becomes purified by the power of the sun. So bhakti works the same way. Or the process of sadhana works the same way. Whatever one's condition of contamination is, whatever the variety and the degree and sinful and something, everyone's eligible for becoming freed from contamination by the power of bhakti, by the power of association with Krishna, connecting with Krishna. Put your hand up.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I am trying to understand how to take strength from the qualities and apply to address the doshas. Like, what does it mean to take strength from?
What does it mean?
Like, how do I do? Like, because I get carried away by those strengths. Just like it's a different. It feels like it is not giving me strength when I just address what.
Well, you know, two things. Humility. And the moderator for humility is the mood of service. that strength is meant, comes from Krishna, is meant to be used in Krishna's service. So part of my service is to become, be able to come before Krishna pure. Over there are some doshas. The strength is meant to please Krishna and to help me over there. It's Krishna's gift to help me overcome my weaknesses. Otherwise, it's pride. And then I get lost. So the counterbalance is humility. And the driver of humility is service. Humble service. Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is related to yesterday's class. And today's too, Prabhu asked, who just now asked a question, if I got it right, he mentioned that the one who is doing a devotional service, but maybe the mind is not there, and your response was that it's all external. And now I'm thinking that during Kapila Dev's teaching, we discussed that the cultivation of bhakti is also bhakti. So even though if the person initially starts in that stage, but that will be considered as a bhakti.
Sure. Let's say the same thing in reverse. The subject matter of Nectar of Devotion is bhakti. There's three main sections. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. So in, even in the very beginning of sadhana bhakti, that's bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, big letters, especially when one is following Rupa Goswami, because that bhakti leads one to prema bhakti. It leads one to progressive stages of sadhana into the bhava bhakti, prema bhakti condition. So even in the beginning, it's bhakti. But important for the performer of bhakti is they should be cultivating, if they're followers of Rupa Goswami, becoming freed. From the lower tendencies, lower modes of nature and lower influences and greed and lust and so forth. But the power to do that comes from the bhakti itself. Not from my effort alone, but from the power of bhakti. Does that answer your question?
So that means when somebody is doing a devotional service, even though they are not there,
Then
that is also bhakti, right?
Yes. So. Yes. It's mixed, but it's also bhakti. People come in the temple and they're just curious or whatever. Their attention may have nothing to do with pleasing Krishna, may have everything to do with satisfying their curiosity,
right,
or doing some little ritual, and they'll get some blessings and they go home. Blessings. So, you know, it's a substantial, Kanishtha Adhikari is a very substantial number of people that come to temples. They're not interested, per se, in pleasing Krishna. They're interested in getting blessings so they can prosper. Very common.
That is bhakti, That is bhakti.
It's in a low stage.
Lower stage.
Prakriti bhakta. Okay. It's bhakti. And the intermediate stage is when one cultivates what's beyond that. And that requires association. And hearing is the key thing in association. And then letting that message go in and then striving to apply that message in my life. Not just hearing. Trying to apply. And initially maybe just hearing, but come to the stage trying to apply. Paramarupa, you have something? I don't think that'll be our last question.
Krishna Guru Maharaj, I was not there in last evening's class, but maybe it is already covered. So satata tesham satata yuktanam, in that verse, the person is already continuously absorbed in the act of devotional service.
And
that means that
Priti Purvakam.
And Priti Purvakam. That means the intelligence is already there.
Well, some intelligence is already there, otherwise they'd be doing something else. The intelligence to engage, you missed the class. We discussed this. His question, one of his two questions, Paramakruna, was the distinction between iti matva and buddhi yogam tam. And I gave the example that one who knows, for example, this is Krishna's temple, then in the temple, you conduct yourself as you're to conduct yourself within Krishna's temple. Now, outside the temple, somebody might do something they might not do in the temple. But because we're in Krishna's temple, we're respectful and so forth. And then, buddhi is how you, when you have some interaction with the people in the temple, and some circumstances arises, what's the best way to please Krishna with this circumstance that arises? It's different than, you know, having the general territory that this is God's kingdom. He's the source of everything. It belongs to Him. I engage myself in devotional service. There's some intelligence certainly operating. Iti madhva. And then the details of how I might, the moment to moment, guiding the activities of the mind and senses.
Another thought that is coming to my mind is, because the word satatam is used, that means the bhakti is not unsteady but a steady bhakti. So is that painting a picture of journey from nishtha to prema? Is that...
Something like that. Something like that. Okay. Something like that.
Thank you.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh. There's some other slides. I got so carried away. Those are the verses, this image of Lord Kapila Dev. They're repeating the same message. This is Krishna speaking Uddhava Gita and Vishwanath's commentary. An intelligent person, this is Buddhiman, an intelligent person should therefore reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees whose words Uktibi cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind. Mano vyasanga. The process of hearing with the right mood of regard for the person speaking can carry one beyond, same message, can carry one beyond where I am to where I want to be. So, some announcements, probably. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.